John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like it, got a part of it. Fires left side, got a man there. Stevie catch, touchdown.
Really, we still got action.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Inside the 10, 5-yard line, touchdown, C.J. Spiller.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Well, for our first ever broadcast in Buffalo and Rochester, we have Buffalo Bills GM Buddy Nix, the pride of Rochester from Wham TV, Mike Catalana, and from NFL.com, Josh Norris. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This is pandemonium!
Touchdown!
From One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Live on the air with the John Murphy Show. Good evening. I am John Murphy, coming to you from our broadcast studios inside the media area at One Bills Drive in the Bills Administration Building, here from 7 to 9 p.m. tonight. 2 hours of NFL and Bills news, and happy to have you with us here tonight. Rough night, though, for us, and I think most Americans today, with the tragedy in Boston today, the news coming out this afternoon, the bombings in Boston today, and we still don't know a whole lot about it, do we? The tale's still coming out, none of them very good. I guess I look at the show as a two-hour diversion from the sad news of the day. Never a comfortable feeling hosting a show like this in a tragic day like this. We had a similar show last December in the Newtown shootings. Just, you know, you're kind of distracted, not feeling like you're doing the right thing hosting a sports talk show, but we'll do it with all due respect to the victims in Boston and their families and those affected by the tragedy. Our thoughts are with them. We'll take 2 hours out of the day right now to do our job, basically, to do our show, and I hope you can listen along and enjoy the show as much as possible tonight. It is a big night for us as we make our debut in Rochester tonight, and happy to have that segment of the audience with us for the first time, our Rochester debut tonight on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester. We are on the air in Rochester as well as Buffalo with our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Radio. And we welcome the fans in Rochester, the loyal Bills fans in Rochester, a group that has grown considerably over the last 10 or more years. As you heard, we're going to have Mike Catalana from Wham TV in Rochester with us live at 8 o'clock. One of the questions I want to ask Mike is just how much has the Rochester regionalization changed the way his station covers the Bills? How much of a presence do the Bills have in Rochester? We know that they're important to the franchise, and I think they're important to most Bills fans. There's a survey that came out late last week, by the way, about the popular teams in upstate New York, Siena College survey. We'll get to this a little bit later, but the Buffalo Bills are right up there ahead of the New York Jets in upstate New York. The Bills are the sixth most popular team in upstate New York, and I guess that's defined as everything north of the city line in New York. Yankees number one, the New York Giants number two, followed by the Mets, the Knicks, Syracuse, and then the Buffalo Bills, sixth most popular team in all of upstate New York, followed by the Jets, the New York Jets at number seven, followed by the Nets, Sabres, Rangers, Islanders, Devils. So very interesting. We'll dive into this a little bit, talk with Mike Catalana, but very happy to be on the air in Rochester, and we'll be here every night. There is no hockey, no Sabres hockey. Our station in Rochester, ESPN Radio in Rochester, also a Sabres radio affiliate, and so the nights when there's no hockey, we will be on the air from 7 to 9. We are rapidly running out of hockey, as you know, just a couple of games this week, a couple of more weeknight games next week, and then it's all the John Murphy Show from 7 to 9, both in Buffalo and on the radio in Rochester. And that's good because the draft's coming up. The draft now just 10 days away. In fact, next week we'll have a series of shows getting you set for the draft. I guess today's show is an attempt to get you set for the draft with Buddy Nix joining us in a few minutes. And a little bit later on, Josh Norris from RotoWorld and NFL.com. He'll be on the air with us as well, live to talk about the draft 10 days away from the NFL. But a formal and complete welcome to all the listeners in Rochester. We'll give you the phone number right now. If you're calling from the Rochester area and you hear this show down there, you want to use our toll-free number, 1-888-550-2550. If you're calling in the 716 area code, it's not a toll call, 803-0550. But toll-free from Rochester and anywhere outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550, the number to call. Ring us up right now if you're listening to us in Rochester. We will give Rochester listeners top priority tonight, getting them on the air. One of the things we want to talk about tonight on the air is a quarterback. than Rochester sports fans are familiar with, maybe slightly more than Buffalo sports fans, just because of geography, because of proximity. His stock seems to be ascending. Ryan Nassib, Syracuse quarterback, always talked about, linked to the Bills ever since Doug Marrone and Nathaniel Hackett came here back in early January. But lately, as in the last week or so, it seems like Ryan Nassib's stock is rising. Couple of reasons. John Gruden from Monday Night Football in the Gruden quarterback camp. Wait till you hear what he had to say today on a conference call about Ryan Nassib. A week or two ago, we had Greg Cosell from NFL Network here talking on the show, and he loves Ryan Nassib. He considered him, I think, the number one quarterback in this year's draft class. Russ Landy, who is now a personnel director for the Montreal Alouettes, but a longtime NFL observer. This goes back about 6 weeks or so. He told us on this show that if he were drafting, Ryan Nassib would be his first pick overall, the number one pick overall. Ryan Nassib's stock is rising, it appears, and we're going to talk about him tonight. We'd like to hear from you, especially those of you in Rochester, you Syracuse football fans in Rochester who maybe have seen Ryan Nassib play over the last couple of years down there for the Orange. Ryan Nassib, should the Bills jump on him? Should they take him at number 8? I mean, if that's the quarterback they want, if that's the quarterback they have a conviction on, should they take him at number 8? I spent a long time on the telephone today with Ryan Nassib's agent. His name is Brian Arault, lives in Atlanta, Georgia. And Brian Arault is an Orchard Park native. And we kind of connected a little bit today and talked about Nassib and where he might go. He knows more than anybody. He knows the heat surrounding Ryan Nassib and how much attention Nassib is getting right now based on some of these pre-draft evaluations. He doesn't know if Ryan Nassib's going to be available 41st overall for the Buffalo Bills. I think many of us expected that Ryan Nassib would be there 41st overall for the Bills, second round. Maybe not. Maybe the Bills have to make a move into the lower regions of the first round to get him. Maybe if they like him and if they have conviction on him, maybe they need to get him with their first pick in the 8th pick overall. What do you think? Is 8 too early to draft Ryan Nassib if you're the Buffalo Bills? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll free. For those in Rochester and outside the 716 area code, it's 1-888-550-2550. 8 sounds early for Ryan Nassib. Everybody concerned about value. But if the Bills like him and if there's this much heat around Ryan Nassib right now, are they willing to possibly not get him? I mean, would somebody else take Ryan Nassib before 41? Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number in Buffalo. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. The Bills are in the house getting set for their off-season voluntary minicamp, a three-day veteran minicamp that starts tomorrow. The football team will be on the field tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday morning. Then they're dismissed until they come back next week for another are they gone next week? Yeah, they are. No, they're back next week for more conditioning work leading up to the draft. But a three-day veteran minicamp starts tomorrow on the field. The players in the building right now going through meetings. They have all assembled, and we just ran into a few of them down the hallway here. Among those not in attendance, not expected to attend, reportedly Jarris Bird, Bills safety. The Pro Bowl safety deciding not to attend the workouts this week. That report, according to the NFL Network. Jarris Bird has the franchise tag put on him that'll pay him about $6.9 million this year, but he hasn't signed it yet, and he's apparently not going to be making any moves for these voluntary sessions. And can you blame him? It's a voluntary workout this week, a voluntary workout. The only leverage, I mean, Jarris Bird lost a ton of leverage when the franchise tag was put on him. The only leverage he has now to try to get a long-term deal, which is what I believe that he wants and what the Bills want, the only leverage is to stay away from these voluntary workouts for whatever that's worth. Not much leverage at all. We'll talk with Buddy Nix about this coming up in just a few minutes on the show. But Jarris Bird, not signed yet to his franchise tag, opting not to attend the Bills workouts this week. Couple of newer Bills in the building today with the New Jersey numbers. Marcus Doughton, the Bills signed him last Friday night. You heard him on the radio show. He was just claimed off waivers. He will wear number 54. And another one of the new Bills, defensive tackle Alan Branch, who was signed earlier on back a couple of weeks ago. He's going to wear number 90 for the Buffalo Bills. Trent Edwards released today by the Philadelphia Eagles, and they had a logjam at quarterback there. It took a while, but Chip Kelly, they have Michael Vick, they have G.J. Kinney, they have Dennis Dixon, Nick Foles is on the roster, and so Trent Edwards is the odd man out in Philadelphia. one-time Buffalo Bills draft pick who was the starting quarterback under Dick Geron for the Bills. Since he was released by the Bills under Chan Gailey a couple of years ago, he's been to the Jaguars, Raiders, Eagles, and now gone from the Eagles. Trent Edwards released by the Philadelphia Eagles today. He was a third-round pick in 2005 out of Stanford. There was some feeling that the NFL schedule might be out this week. It is not. There was some thought that it would come out tomorrow. It will not be. The league spokesman Greg Aiello announcing today that the schedule is not finalized and no release date has been determined. It's expected the schedule is not too far away, maybe next week. In fact, some are guessing that April 23rd would be the day, which is next Tuesday. But the NFL says there is no release date yet determined and the schedule will not be out tomorrow, as many thought. One of the things I think is news today is what John Gruden had to say about Ryan Nassib, the Syracuse quarterback. Gruden, like many of the top analysts, conducted a conference call with reporters from around the NFL today. Gruden, of course, the former Raiders and Tampa Bay coach who is now the analyst on Monday Night Football, conducts the highly popular Gruden's Quarterback Camp on ESPN. He was asked today on that conference call of the quarterbacks available in this year's draft, whom would he draft?
Well, I would, you know, I selfishly really like this kid at Syracuse. I've said that a couple times. I think he's a nuisance runner. I think he can scramble for first downs. If we want to run the read option, I think he could execute those plays. I really think he's sharp mentally. This is a guy that's been trained by Doug Marrone, formerly of the New Orleans Saints. So he's been in a really ambitious offensive scheme, taking care of the ball. He's proven he's tough, durable. I like his upside.
Interesting. John Gruden, that was the first quarterback that he mentioned. The first quarterback that he mentioned was Ryan Nassib. Gruden was asked today if he drafts a quarterback based on who is the best available or who would best fit the scheme that a team runs.
Well, I think you have to take, if you need a quarterback, if you certainly are counting on one of these players to come in and start, you're going to take the man that you think has the most versatile skill set. You're going to need to be able to adapt your offense to that quarterback. And that's why I like Nassib. I think, as I said a little bit earlier, I think he can run just about any play that you can think of, whether it be an option, a full field progression, you want to move the pocket, you want to throw the quick game underneath the center or in the shotgun, you want to go no huddle, you want to come up with 10 or 12 new plays this week. I think he can handle it. I think he's proven he can handle it. So to answer your question, that's why I like Nassib as much as I do. I do think there are some other quarterbacks that will develop, but I don't think they're as ready as Ryan Nassib is because of his pedigree he has at Syracuse.
Interesting. And one more question for John Gruden came up on the conference call today, and it's the obvious pairing between Ryan Nassib, the Syracuse quarterback, and his college coach, now Doug Marrone, the head coach of the Bills, and Nathaniel Hackett, his college offensive coordinator, now the OC here with the Buffalo Bills. Gruden was asked if pairing Nassib with Doug Marrone makes sense.
I think it'd be big. I think it'd be huge, without a doubt. I think Tannehill last year going to the Miami Dolphins, a lot of people didn't think he was going to go as high as he did. But Mike Sherman, his former coach at Texas A&M, went to the Dolphins as the offensive coordinator, and I think that had a lot to do with Tannehill bursting onto the scene like he did. And I'm not saying that's going to happen for sure with Nassib, but system familiarity is a huge tool with any quarterback, certainly with a young quarterback. So if Buffalo could somehow get Nassib, I think it'd be great for both sides.
Yeah, we'll see. And he makes some sense there. We've talked about this ever since the Senior Bowl, really, how Ryan Nassib with the Buffalo Bills would essentially be able to step right in and play right away. But the question is he worth the eighth overall pick? We're going to put that question to Buddy Nix in just a few minutes here on the show, but we put that question to you. Ryan Nassib, is he worth the eighth overall pick? I mean, with the heat that's being generated around Ryan Nassib, with Gruden's comments, with what his agent told me today, with what others have said, it may not be wise to wait until 41, the second round for the Bills, if they want Ryan Nassib. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number, toll-free for those in Rochester or anywhere else tonight outside of Buffalo. It's 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can reach us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Here is Paul in Toronto. Hello, Paul. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, John. I really have a big concern about if they draft Nassib that high. I think that's too high of a pick to gamble. I think, you know, you listen to the McShays and Kuypers and those people, Nassib's not even really coming on in their discussions. I think if they were to trade maybe a high second round for a late first, I think maybe it'd be worth the gamble. But for an eighth pick, I think you're better off going for a solid wide receiver or a solid linebacker. And we see there's a lot of those type of people. I think it comes down to your best athlete in this situation.
Yeah, and those are needs for the Bills, too. You're right about that, Paul, receiver and linebacker. I mean, I guess what I'm detecting, though, is the landscape seems to be changing around Ryan Nassib, where he might not even last until late in the first round. I don't know. I mean, just based on what came down today, I mean, his agent obviously is going to pump him up, but his agent telling me today that he thought he wouldn't last until very deep into the first round, especially not into the second round. The Jets have an interest in Ryan Nassib, and the Cardinals drafting ahead of the Bills at number 7. You know, that's where Ryan Nassib is today, as a matter of fact, in Arizona, meeting with the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, this late into the procedure, if into the process, they're talking with Ryan Nassib. They must have some questions for Ryan Nassib. Here is Grant Dan in Angola. Do I have your name right, sir?
It's Dan.
Dan, okay.
Yeah. You know, that eighth pick, I'm worried it's getting real itchy. I don't know the way Buffalo is. You know, they're talking about they need a lineman. You know, it's really confusing. And everybody's saying, you know, they don't know if it's worth the pick, you know. But
yeah.
Buffalo, you know, they passed on so many other quarterbacks over the years. So I hope they don't wait too long, because I don't think he would be there at 41, no matter who the quarterback is.
Yeah, well, you're right. And if it is confusing, I think then Buddy Nix and his staff are doing their job, because they don't want us to know. They don't want me to know. They don't want you to know. They especially don't want 31 other NFL teams to know who they're going to draft or what direction they're pointed in. So if it confuses you, then Buddy Nix will say good. Buddy Nix is going to join us in studio when we return, and we'll get back to more phone calls. We'll talk more about Ryan Nassib and about some of the other issues surrounding the Buffalo Bills. We welcome our Rochester listeners tonight. Happy to have them in the audience, courtesy of Sports Radio 950 ESPN in Rochester. Buddy Nix when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. And in studio with us tonight, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, Buddy Nix. Buddy, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
It is our first night on the air in Rochester, and that's why we wanted to have you on here. And that's a big chunk of Bills fans. You get a chance to see them every year, and we're down there at training camp.
They turn out in numbers, and it's always good.
Hey, Buddy, you're about 2 weeks now into the voluntary off-season conditioning program for the players. Give us an assessment. How do you think that's gone so far?
You know, I think it's gone good. Obviously, we don't get to watch them. You know, our coaches get to meet with them, but turnout's been good. The enthusiasm, I think the building is upbeat having them back. And one of the reasons we stay in this thing is being around those players and watching them improve. And that's been good so far.
With the new coaching staff, I wonder how much more important is the meeting time they get with those players as opposed to the conditioning work on the field as well?
Well, it's very important. You know, they install and they introduce them to a new system. So the meetings are great. It's the coaches are excited that they get to see them tomorrow in the voluntary minicamp. They get to see them actually do football stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, they've just been doing conditioning, running, a lot of agility drills. Starting tomorrow on the field, they'll run plays, right, for the first time, the stuff that they probably looked at on video the last few weeks.
Yeah, they will, and get to throw the football around and that kind of thing, which with the new CBA, you know, you can't do any of that, and you can't watch any of it if they were out somewhere doing it on their own. So it'll be exciting, and our coaches will get their first exposure to these guys.
These camps are voluntary, Buddy, and you've been without safety Jarris Byrd, who was put the franchise tag on him a couple of months ago. He has a contractual right not to attend these camps, right? I mean, he's not doing anything wrong.
No, absolutely, he's not. And you know, that's his choice. We try to coach and work with the guys that are here.
You have a mandatory mini camp in mid-June. Would you expect to see Jarris there?
Well, I'm going to expect to see him when he comes in the door. You know, it's up to him and his agent. So I've had very little communication with him. And, you know, obviously we'd like to get a long-term deal done with Jarius and, you know, get him exposed to it. But, again, it's not a big deal with us. It's his right.
Last Monday, you brought in Kevin Kopp, signed him last Monday. Give me your thoughts on him and why he was the guy you eventually did sign, the quarterback you went out and got in free agency.
Well, you know, we kind of had him on the radar for quite a while, and we wanted another veteran, somebody that had been in the league and played in the league. We wanted somebody else to compete for the job, and Kevin's excited about it. He's, you know, we were impressed with him when he played. When we played against him till he got hurt, and you got to be impressed by his toughness and his smarts in football. And when he's had an opportunity with surrounded by pretty good people, he's done well.
How do you assess his durability issue? The fact that he has missed considerable time with injury.
Well, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about injury prone and that kind of thing. I don't believe in that. I think. Sometimes you get hurt and sometimes you don't. And one other positive way to look at it is he's had the injury, so maybe he's run out of his. He won't have them anymore.
And what about his role here? Is he expected to compete for the starting job with Tavares? Is that what you see?
Oh, absolutely. And Aaron Korp and whoever else is in here. You know, we're according to Doug, and, you know, he said it many times that all positions are going to be competitive and up for grab.
You've signed two linebackers in free agency, Manny Lawson a couple of weeks ago and Marcus Doughton just last week. Tell us about those two.
You know, when our defensive staff came in and looked at all our players, and the one place that we were deficient with guys we had, we didn't know what they could do, and we didn't know if we had enough at the Sam linebacker spot. So Manny Lawson was one of the top two or three that we targeted for that position. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to get him. So I think that'll help us. Doughton is a guy that's familiar with the Jets system. Not that that had was a deciding factor about going after him. The good thing about Marcus is he can run and he can cover. He can play man coverage. He's a good special teams player. So we're excited about having both those guys. We thought that was a need going into the offseason.
February 13th was the start of free agency, and you were quiet up until a couple of weeks into it. Do you find now, I mean, it stands to reason there'd be better values. You might not be overpaying guys that you would, you know, 4 or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, the old rule is that you go fishing the first 3 days of free agency and don't take your cell phone, you know, so you don't overpay on guys. But we're going to be involved in free agency all the way up to camp. You know, we signed Nick Barnett. I think we were at camp when we brought him in to visit. Right. We were already at camp. So we just keep looking for guys that we look every day. We keep Tommy Gibbons and the pro guys keep me up to date on who's available and who fits, and then we look at them and we evaluate every one of them, and, you know, we'll go all the way up to end of July looking for those guys.
Buddy Nick's in studio with us, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. The pace has picked up a lot. Last week you had your scouting staff in, and they're in now as you approach the draft a week or so away. What's going on in that draft room in there? Because it seems pretty secretive.
If the pace picks up much more, I'm going to have to get some help. But, yeah, these guys, we're meeting every day. We met, started Sunday at 7 in the morning, and, you know, we go all day every day. And what we're doing is doing the same thing we've done about three times, and that's read every guy. Everybody that's seen him reads the guy. We got the head coach in there. We got the coordinator, and we got the position coach. They are in there. If they've looked at these guys, they give their opinion. We listen to everybody, and we do it three or four times to get the board right, and try to make sure we make the right decision.
When you read them, do you do it by position? Like you'll sit down and do all the linebackers in one day?
Yeah, we do all the positions one at a time and go all the way through free agents, college free agents. So we'll have them all placed on the board.
And then how do you put that all together on the board? You assign a grade after the reading and then put them on the board?
We do.
Big board?
We assign a grade. We go around and you know, get everybody's grade, and then we come up with a grade for us. And that's the way he's placed on the board, and that's the way he'll be on draft day.
For the scouts and the coaches, is this then their last chance to make a case for or against the player?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll finish up about Wednesday with special teams will be last, and we'll finish that up on Wednesday before the draft on Thursday.
Okay.
And then we'll meet, two or three of us will meet Thursday and make sure we got the right plan going into the draft.
A lot of the last couple of weeks have been taken up with private workouts on campus sites or other sites, and even the visits here to One Bills Drive. How much do things change based on that exposure that you get?
You know, sometimes they don't change any, Murph. I don't know how to tell you how much, but occasionally you'll bring a guy in, maybe more than occasionally, you'll bring a guy in and go through all the mental stuff where you get him discussing scheme, see how much he can retain, how quick he can retain it, and that kind of thing. Sometimes that does make a difference because, you know, in this league and in this business, you hadn't got much time to get it done. And if a guy gets cut a lot of times for physical deficiencies, but he also gets cut because he can't keep up mentally. And that's when we bring them in here, that's the main thing we're trying to find out.
Buddy, at the start of the offseason, way back in January, you listed your priorities. I believe you said quarterback, wide receiver, linebacker, tight end. What are those priorities now as you get set for the draft?
Well, I'd say they're probably the same, you know, except that have added, obviously, a quarterback, so we got some stability there. And then we've added two linebackers, which maybe, you know, lessens that that value here in the draft. But what we'll do is like we always do. We'll try to take the best player. We're not gonna reach, you know, even for need. We'll take those guys. If there's two or three positions that have the same grades, then obviously we'd take the need position.
As you move through the draft into later rounds, second round, third round, are you more apt to reach there knowing that it's just not as high a premium put on as a player as he would in the first round?
You know, the high premium's put on by the media and by the fans. Mm-hmm. And used to, it was money. Now it's not. It's not so much money. So I don't think there's any more tendency to reach there than anywhere else. If you I've said this 100 times, and if you do reach, you normally wasting a pick.
One of the striking things, buddy, of the last month or so has been how much work you guys have put into quarterback evaluation in this draft class. I mean, with the private workouts and the on-campus visits, did any of these quarterbacks go up in your estimation based on what you saw over the last month or so?
Oh, yeah, they did, and, you know, some went down. But the reason all the I've done this before, been through this about three or four times. And the reason is the quarterback is so hard to evaluate. You know, you can watch a guy one time and find out if his release is good, his throwing motion's good, if his feet's decent, and if he's got a strong enough arm. The thing you can't find out is leadership. Is he going to be the guy you want leading your program? I mean, all of those intangibles, how smart is he? How quick does he make decisions? At that position, you can't know him enough. You gotta just keep going back.
Is there a quarterback in this draft class who is worthy of the 8th overall pick?
You know, I think it's according to who's looking at him, you know. And I've said this before when everybody is beating this class up, and they still are somewhat.
Yeah.
But I think there's two or three guys in this class that'll be big-time quarterbacks in this league and very successful guys. Now, all of them got deficiencies, just like we all do. But all these guys can do something good. There's about six or seven of them that can do enough good things to win for you. And if you don't go and make them try to fit a system – that they can't do, then they got a chance to be successful. And I'll just ask you, when you talk about, is there a guy that's worthy of the eighth pick, would you take Russell Wilson now with the eighth pick?
Sure you would.
Would you take Kaepernick with the eighth pick? I mean, so when we'll find out if they're worthy of the eighth pick is about 2 or 3 years from now.
Those two or three quarterbacks that you talked about, I guess you said two, are you in position to get one of those, and do you think you will?
Well, I said two now, but don't hold me to that.
Okay.
I just said two because it might be four. And hopefully, you know, we'll have a shot at one at some point in the draft. That doesn't mean that we're going to take a quarterback in the first round, but it doesn't mean we're not either.
Buddy, how much of scouting preparation for the draft is assessment of what other teams will do?
Well, I think that is important. I think that the seven guys that are in front of us, we try to figure out. Well, you know, I get something every day because of who they sign free agency-wise that says their needs now are this. They'll probably go for this. Nobody knows what they're going to do, but
right.
That's part of the fun of the game. This is a kind of a chess match, and you try to figure out what guys are going to do and who's going to be left there for you. I will say this. If you pick eighth, you better have seven or eight guys you want. Because you're not sure any of them will be there unless you got numbers.
Yeah.
Somebody may move ahead.
Thinking about your coaching staff as they get ready for this draft, some of them, you know, I think the Syracuse University group, it's probably the first time they've been through this. Others, like the Mike Penton group, the guys who've been in the league for a while, they got to know exactly how to do this and what they want. Do you find that to be the case for their coaching staff?
Well, they may know exactly how to do it, but what they do is the way we do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we don't ask them how they want to do the draft procedure and all that. We know how we want to do that, and we know it works. So, but they are. To your point, college guys, it's all new to them. You know, with Mike and the staff that was with the Jets, those guys have been in the draft room, so they kind of know what to expect. But I think ours is maybe, and not to say it's any better, but it's a little bit different in that everybody gets their voice, their opinion. It's not who talks the loudest or the longest. And it's not an argumentative deal. It's give your opinion. You've done your job now. We'll decide where he goes.
Buddy, we're 10 days away from round one of the draft, and you said you'll be reading players and talking about special teamers even up to the 24th, the day before the draft. In those last day or two leading up to the draft, do you typically review video? Do you go back and get one more look at a guy that you're really interested in or talk to one more coach or one more associate of the guy?
At each position. At the end of the day, there's highlighted list of five, six, seven players at that position that we want to take a look at. So we'll spend, if we get through Monday or Tuesday, we'll spend the next 48 hours just going back so they're fresh in your mind. You know, it takes a while sometimes for all this stuff to come together to you, but it always does, and the picture gets pretty clear by the end.
What do you like better, draft day or opening of the season, first Sunday of the season?
You know, both of them are different. They're both very competitive, and, I love them both. I mean, I look forward to – as soon as this draft's over, I'll be looking forward to the first game. So it's all exciting to me.
Buddy, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Buddy Nix, general manager of the Buffalo Bills, in studio with us, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We welcome our listeners in Rochester tonight, our debut edition of the John Murphy Show on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester, as well as our listeners here in Buffalo. You heard Buddy Nix, Bills general manager, kick things off tonight with his thoughts on what's gone on around here over the last week or two. First time we've talked to Buddy, I believe, since the combine. And as far as news, there didn't seem to be much concern about Jarris Bird and his apparent decision not to attend the voluntary offseason workouts. That's his prerogative. That's his contractual right. And if you think about it, that's whatever little tiny bit of leverage Jarris Bird might have after the franchise tag was put on him. That's all he has left. That's really all he has left, is the ability not to attend the voluntary workouts. Why would he do that? Well, I would think in an effort to get the Bills' attention to say, let's get a long-term deal done. I believe that's what the Bills want. You heard Buddy say that. They do want a long-term deal with Jarris Byrd. And I think Jarris Byrd wants that somewhere deep down, you know, a long-term deal in Buffalo or elsewhere. He doesn't have one now. He has a one-year deal under the franchise tag. And until he gets the long-term deal, you know, I bet he would not attend any of the voluntary activities. You know, he gives up whatever remaining shred of leverage he might have, he gives up once he shows up through the door for the voluntary workouts. All right, we got phone lines open for the next few minutes. Next hour, Mike Catalana from Wham TV in Rochester will join us, and Josh Norris of NFL.com. But let's get to a couple of phone calls here, and a call from Rochester. Dave in Rochester, welcome to the show, Dave.
Hi, good.
Dave, you listening? Yeah, good. You're on the air, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I love the show.
Thank you, Dave.
And I got a couple quick questions. My big thing is, not too many people talk about the Bills trading the eighth spot and possibly moving back in the first round, because that's where all their value is for the positions they want.
Yeah. And you think they should do that? Well, if they could do that, yeah, I think they would certainly entertain it. I think when you look at, even Buddy said it, you know, about this draft, that there's value to be had at tight ends. You just heard him say that. Buddy Nick said that along the lines, offensive and defensive lines. So if they could trade down and pick up additional picks, I think they would. Problem is, you know, who wants to move up? Is there somebody that somebody wants at number eight that they have to have at number eight? You know, you always got to find that trade partner, and I'm not so sure that, you know, there's anybody out there right now. The Bills go into this draft with just six picks, which is not really enough to do a whole lot of wheeling and dealing. But, yeah, I think if there was an offer on the table, they would probably entertain it. Ray in Buffalo. Ray, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show. Are you there, Ray? Well, we can't fire him up. Maybe we can fire him up at the studio. Hi, Ray. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks, Mark. Yeah. I just want to say, you know how people always speak about, you know, New England and stuff. I feel that we should be above them here in the standings. I feel Buddy Nix and them have done a great job for the 3 years, bringing the players in. Now we finally have a great coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball to really push us forward over the hump to where we can relish those years that we went to the Super Bowls and things like that. Everyone talks about Miami and what they did. We really didn't lose any players, so that means we still have continuity within our system. Hmm. Now we got a good coaching staff, and I think we're gonna win the standings this year, go to the playoffs, and go Bills.
All right, Ray. Ray, full of optimism. Hard to say the Bills have continuity when they just totally changed. I mean, right from the top, right from Russ Brandon taking over as team president. I mean, it's hard to argue they have continuity. A brand new coaching staff, new systems on offense and defense. Last year's quarterback is gone. Several starters, George Wilson, et cetera, are gone. I'd have a hard time making the argument that continuity is what will prevail for the Bills. I mean, do they have a chance to make a fresh start here? Absolutely. A chance to, try to establish themselves with a brand new coaching staff that you talked about and brand new systems on offense and defense. They absolutely do. But, boy, I'd have a hard time making the argument that there's continuity here. There just isn't. I mean, there just isn't continuity. They're starting over again. And hopefully they won't have to take too much of a step back before they take a potential step forward. We'll take a call from Grant in Buffalo. Grant, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Russ, thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, I think Ryan Nassib's a no-brainer at number eight. I mean, the lines between, the college schemes and the pro schemes have changed over the years. Years ago, it was a big difference. Now it isn't. We've seen guys jumping right in from the college to the pro ranks. And you've got somebody who's going to come in and work with a head coach and an OC that he's already familiar with. You got Gruden saying he can do everything that's needed. And, you know, I just keep thinking back, Brady was what, taking sixth or seventh round or something? I mean, you know, you just don't know, but I think that so much just falls into place for this Nassib guy. Why wait until, lower first round or try to trade the 41 pick up to a 20-something pick? I don't think that's going to be worth it. Just go for him at eighth, and I think that's the franchise going forward.
All right, thanks, Grant. And that is a solid argument that a lot of people make, that if the Bills have a conviction on Ryan Nassib or whomever, quarterback, take him at number eight. Don't worry about value. If you go on Buddy Nix's past performance chart, he will go for value and not reach for a player. But as you said, many people believe this. I'm not sure I'm there yet, but many people think if you have a conviction on a player, whether it's Ryan Nassib or somebody else, and you're sitting there at number eight and you're not real sure that Nassib will be there next time you pick and you don't have a deal in the works, take him at number eight, value be damned. I think there's an argument to be made for that. Adam in Buffalo. Welcome, Adam. You're on the air. Hi, Adam.
Thanks, Mark. Good morning. Afternoon.
That's a bend. Hey, Adam, do us a favor and call back because your phone line was a little shaky, but call back. We'll have time for phone lines open the next hour as well. And the number to call if you're calling from Buffalo, 803-0550, or if you're toll-free from Rochester or anywhere else, it's 1-888-550-2550. Give us a call. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with Mike Catalana, who is the Dean of Sportscasters, an iconic figure in Rochester sports from Wham TV in Rochester. He'll be with us on the line. He's also the sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network. And Josh Norris from NFL.com and Roto World. He'll be joining us next hour. He says Arkansas's Tyler Wilson is the best quarterback in the draft. Another hour to go. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
Touchdown, B. Scott! Touchdown, Buffalo! A pick six for the Buffalo defense!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
How did he do it? How did he do it?
I was sneaking in the door. Just sneaking in, had to part the door open, crawl underneath the crawl space.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
It's a grown dog's game. Ain't no puppies out here. Ain't no puppies out here today.
The kick is blocked again. It is Marcel Darius, Big Daddy in the middle. Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two, the John Murphy Show. Coming to you live from One Bills Drive in the second hour of our show in Rochester. Hope you're able to hear the show in its entirety down in Rochester tonight. And if you have something to say about the show, you can always ring us up in the 716 area code, 803-0550, and toll-free in Rochester and other points, 1-888-550-2550. In Rochester, our debut in Rochester, we're on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester. And who better to get on the show to talk about the Bills and Rochester than the Dean of Sportscasters in the Flower City? From Wham TV, he's also the sideline reporter on the Bills preseason broadcast, Mike Catalana. Mike, thanks for very much coming on. How are you tonight?
Hey, good, Murph. How are you?
Good. We were talking earlier. I'm not quite sure what the Dean of Sportscasters is. Does that mean you're the oldest, the longest?
Yeah, you're old. You've been around the longest, and they haven't fired me yet. How's that sound?
That's good. Yeah. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. Last time I saw you was outside the Georgia Dome a couple of Saturday nights ago at the Final Four. You're down there covering Syracuse basketball. A couple of great basketball games that weekend. I know you're working, but I hope you got a chance to enjoy some of the hoops down there.
You know, I really did. It's a shame for a lot of Syracuse fans because I didn't think Syracuse certainly played their best game, and that game kind of moved along a little slower. But that final game was probably the best game I saw all year long, and it was, you know, great that it ended up being in the championship game. And, you know, I really thought Michigan was going to pull it off there, and they just went through those tough stretches late in the first half, and that Louisville defense just was a little too much for him. But it was a great experience being there for the Final Four, and I thought it was something to see.
Yeah, it really was. Well, Mike, we're on the air in Rochester as of tonight on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester, so that's one of the reasons why we wanted to get you on the air. And I got thinking today about the Bills in Rochester. By my count, this will be, what, the 14th year coming up? The Bills have had training camp at St. John Fisher College. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And tell me what inroads the Bills have made in that market over those 14 years. I mean, is there a difference now in the Bills' presence in Rochester based on having training camp down there?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt there is. And we got to be honest, Murph. You know, back when the Bills were a Super Bowl team, it wasn't very difficult to keep Rochester as a viable secondary market and keep people locked in. I mean, when you're playing the way the Bills played during those years, some of the greatest in the history of the NFL, everybody's locked in. But we know, you know, over this period of time, it has not been that quality of football. And I do think having camp here and having fans see the team every day in the summer leading up to the season has really locked the fans in to the Bills. And I just want the day to come together where it's not only a Rochester, you know, based team in camp and all that goes on, but it becomes a winning team again. Then I really think it will, the level of interest in Rochester will explode at that point.
I wonder.
That's just the issue.
Yeah, I wonder if it's your sense that, you know, back in the glory run 20 years ago, the Super Bowl run, that maybe there were, what, more bandwagon fans, more casual fans, and maybe now, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but now have the Bills managed to build maybe more of a hardcore following in Rochester by virtue of the camp in that city?
Yeah, I think that has certainly helped. I think the NFL has gotten so much bigger that people are locked into. But, I mean, we have a lot of people making that trip for years to see the team. You know, they would make the trip to go to Fredonia, too, but it's not quite the same thing. So it's a little different now, the way people stay in touch with the teams. And you're right, I think the fan base is a little different now. But I know when I go to camp, and you know when you go to the camp, you know, you see the families, you see the Rochester people with the little kids, and they've got, you know, the Bills jerseys and all on. And they're the ones they really are connecting by having them at training camp. And that is honestly, at the young age, doesn't have as much to do with wins and losses. So I think that part has really solidified that portion of the fan base of people who go out every summer and see them at camp and then stick with them during the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. That camp training camp experience is so positive. I mean, you get a nice sunny day, or even better, a nice warm summer night down there at St. John Fisher when the sun's setting and the players are happy and they're signing autographs. I mean, I can't imagine there's a better training camp experience around the NFL than what goes on down there at St. John Fisher.
No, and I think it's starting to become a unique one. You know, we see more and more teams that are just keeping everything at the facility, and they have all different reasons for doing that. But you're right. I look in the crowd sometimes. You know, we'll stand there on the field, and I turn around and look in the crowd, and I think it really is tough to beat.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're out there, and, you know, people say, well, what goes on? I go, it's just practice. Don't get too worked up about that end of it. It's practice, but you get to see the players up close. You get to see them pretty much in a, you know, when I say relaxed, you know what I mean by relaxed, not like a game atmosphere.
Right.
And I will say one thing about the organization, the players, all the way from the time they've been here, very accommodating with autographs and everything else. And that part, I rarely, if ever, hear fans complain. You know, sometimes things happen, but rarely, if ever, they get experience of being up close to them. And I know we're going to have the same thing this summer.
Excuse me, Mike. I saw a survey done by Siena College about the most popular sports teams in New York State. The Bills in upstate New York were ranked sixth, ahead of the Jets, behind the Giants. But in Rochester, is it safe to say the Bills might be the most popular professional sports franchise?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. Well, I mean, you have a lot of Yankee fans still here, too, but baseball in general is not as strong as it used to be. The way we look at it, Murph, here at Channel 13, you know, the Bills by far are number one. And then, honestly, it's probably would be Syracuse basketball number two. Not a professional, but pretty close to it. And then beyond that, as you know, you go down to different teams. But the Bills by far are still the number one team. I think, you know, and we look at it, too, they cut through every demographic.
Yeah.
They people everywhere I go, and even now, you know, whether it's at the gym, Wegmans, whatever it is, people want to know what the Bills are going to do. And it's been that way for a long time, and even more. They're just dying. They're just dying for back to where they were before. And that's why I think when that happens in Rochester, it's really going to take off.
Well, we hope we get to see it. We're on the line with Mike Catalano, the sports director at Wham TV in Rochester, sideline host on the Bills preseason broadcast on television. On our first night in Rochester, we're on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester as of tonight. Hey, Mike, another team that you follow, I know quite closely because of your roots, are the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL. The Bills have signed a former Eagles quarterback to be at least one of their quarterbacks going to camp this year. Give us your thoughts on Kevin Cobb.
You know, I think Kevin Cobb has ability, and I saw him when he played for the Eagles look like a confident quarterback. Andy Reid showed a lot of faith in him when he brought him in, drafted him in the second round with their first pick in that year's draft. They didn't have a first-round pick. And when he played, especially early on, the guy was zipping the ball around, showed a good patience in the pocket, got rid of the ball, got it, and they had some speed guys, got it in their hands and made plays. And, you know, then at that point, you know, Michael Vick came along and kind of pushed Cobb out. And so they ended up making the deal. I mean, think about it. They traded him for Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, and a second-round pick, which was a pretty high second-round pick. So that was the thought on Kevin Cobb at the time. There were other teams that wanted him, too. And, you know, he went to Arizona and just got beat up there, and it didn't work out well. So I think if he can get back to the point where he has that confidence and can stand in the pocket, he throws a very nice football. And I think they needed a veteran guy. Now, is he the right one? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But they needed another veteran guy. I think it makes sense for depth. I think it makes sense for, even if he's a kind of a placeholder until whoever they draft, and I think still think they're going to draft somebody early, comes in. But I knew they would be looking at somebody, and I think Cobb is still young enough and talented enough that I think he can help this team.
He had some brutal hits that he absorbed in Arizona, some bad injuries, but did he have that kind of injury record when he was with the Eagles? I know he wasn't totally healthy, but he didn't get banged around like that, did he?
It's funny because that's what really got him knocked out in Philly, because he literally got knocked out. He took a hit in the game against the Packers on the opening game. He hits his head, and he ended up being replaced by Michael Vick. And from that point on, Vick took off. And if you remember that season, Vick played really well for 10, 11 games. And Andy Reid stuck with the hot hand and kept Vick in there. And Cobb never really regained his starting spot. He'd have a few moments when Vick got banged up. But it really was an injury that cost him the starting job. And, you know, I mean, that happened to other quarterbacks, too. And I think that combined, you know, with them going to a new organization, really setting back. Again, he's going to have to bring this back. He's going to have to show that he can command the huddle, move a team down the field and all. I just am saying that I have seen him do it at times with the Eagles. And I think, you know, given the time and the weapons, I think he can be an effective quarterback for a team. Well, I do think he's an upgrade over Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Really? Better
than
Fitz?
He has more talent than Fitz.
Interesting. While we're talking quarterbacks with Mike Catalano, let's talk about rookie quarterbacks, Mike. And when it comes to Ryan Nassib, it seems to me it's almost gone full circle the last few months. Around the time of January, everybody linked him to Buffalo, and because of the Marone and Nathaniel Hackett connection, and we talked to him a lot at the Senior Bowl in late January. And then there were other quarterbacks, and now it just seems to me, almost starting today or the other day, there's renewed interest in Ryan Nassib. I mean, you've got John Gruden today saying he's the best of all those rookie quarterbacks. Yeah, I mean, there's almost like a little mini bubble surrounding Ryan Nassib this week, it seems.
Isn't it the strangest thing how these guys move up and down? And, you know, when we were at the Combine, I remember the question I asked Nassib was, how important is it for you to be a first-round pick? And if you remember, he kind of laughed and said, 3 months ago, I was just hoping that someday to get picked to play in the NFL.
That's right.
And now all of a sudden, people are talking about him as that pick. I do think he's the kind of guy that in meetings, in interviews, when he's with John Gruden, marking plays on the board, he's going to look great. And I think he absolutely has ability to play in the NFL. I think it's going to take him a little while. I think he's talented. I think if you pick him at the right time and move him along the right way, I think he can play in the NFL and be a good, solid quarterback. I don't know if he'll ever be a star, but I think he can be a good, solid quarterback. I think he's a bit of a late bloomer. I think he was that way in college. I think he can make all the throws. He doesn't have a great arm. You know, you'll hear people compare him to a lot of different people. He's not huge, but he's, you know, decent size. I mean, he's like some of the other guys. Again, some people have him number one, just like Matt Barkley. Some people have him high. And, you know, I think Greg Cosell's got him in the fourth round.
Yeah.
So everybody's got their opinion on who it is. I think a team taking Ryan Nassib in the second round is going to be pretty happy with that pick. I think he's a guy who can play in the league. Whether if you try to make him your franchise guy, I think there's questions like there is on every other one.
You said a moment ago you expect the Bills to draft a quarterback fairly early. Do you mean first or second round?
Yeah. I think they'll, by the second round pick, they'll have taken a quarterback. And I don't know, everybody has this love for Geno Smith, and I think Geno Smith is talented. A little concerned about him playing in Buffalo just because they all say, I mean, you heard Matt Barkley say he doesn't mind the weather. The
right.
kid from Newport Beach who played at USC says he doesn't mind playing in the cold weather. You know, I don't know about that with Geno Smith. I think in the second round, I think there's a lot of guys who can help this franchise. And I just mentioned Nassib. My favorite guy of all of them, EJ Manuel of Florida State. I don't know how he fits into Doug Marone's system. and, you know, and whether Nathaniel Hackett would like a guy like that. I think he's the kind of guy with a little bit of time could be a really, really good quarterback. He's got the size and the ability, but I think it may take him a little while. That's why I say you hope that a guy like Kevin Cobb can play for a while if they need somebody in there before the rookie's ready. But I think Tyler Wilson's another guy that can play. I think there's guys that can play. I think last year kind of ruined it for a lot of quarterbacks because those guys just stepped in and did so well as rookies.
Mike, free agency opened up February 13th, and the Bills were quiet. And, you know, since then, they've signed a couple of players. But was there, you know, panic in the streets in Rochester like there was around some portions of Buffalo when, you know, free agency was moving along and the Bills had not made a strong move?
Yeah, you know, the funniest thing I heard from people, I heard somebody actually say legitimately, they're like, Bills never do anything in free agency. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, I'm guessing that Mario Williams, when he gets his check every week, is pretty happy with what the Bills did in free agency the year before. And even guys like, you know, Nick Barnett, when they got him, I think they got him relatively late. I mean, there's still guys out there. There's still guys out there that you can pick up. I'm kind of glad they didn't just go on a shopping spree and try to win March. I'm not saying that makes them a better team. I think they're hoping to fill some of these holes in the draft. And there's guys out there, there's guys on their current roster that they've brought back. I'm not too upset. I didn't see these game-changing guys out there. I mean, you know, I like Andy Levitre. I like him as a player. I understand some of the reasons why they let him go and let him go to another team. And I think that, you know, becomes a concern. But I don't think you just jump right out there and go sign another guy just to spend the money. And I think sometimes teams get fooled into thinking maybe the Miami Dolphins are that team this year. You mentioned the Eagles before. They certainly were that team a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Thought they had everything fixed, and it ended up setting the franchise back 3 years. So it's not always the best way to go about business. But, yes, there was a little bit of panic of how come they haven't done anything. So I think they can correct a lot of that, at least in people's minds, with having what will be perceived as a strong draft.
Last question, Mike. What's the chance that the most significant improvement for the Bills this year comes on the defensive side of the ball without major free agent acquisitions or even maybe major draft pick acquisitions, just to have that group of players who on paper are pretty good and they were going into last year, having them with a different defensive system and maybe, you know, a defensive structure that's better tailored to the way they play? What's the chance that that's where the most improvement comes from this year?
I think you're calling it exactly right. I do think they need help at linebacker. I think linebacker really killed him last year. I think they have some talent in the secondary, and I think that defensive line severely underachieved last year. I think there's a lot of talent there. And I think, you know, you got to give Mike Patton the chance to come in and get his system going. We know there's plenty of room to improve. I mean, last year was just so disappointing defensively. And I like some of the guys personally that were there, but they needed to move on. Need to get younger, need to get more aggressive defensively. And I think certainly the cupboard is not there defensively, especially up front. And I think if he can really get that D-line together, a little bit of improvement in linebacker, and the secondary playing a little smarter than they did a year ago, I think you could see, I think you're right. I think that could be the place you see major improvement and keep the team in games more that we didn't see a year ago. And, you know, I think Patton could end up being the biggest offseason acquisition they have if he is what they hope he is.
Yeah, what everybody says he is. Mike, thanks. We'll let you get back to work. Thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight.
No problem, Murph. Thanks.
Mike Catalana from Wham TV in Rochester, the Dean of Sportscasters in Rochester, the sports director at Wham TV, Channel 13 in Rochester. You see him on the sidelines on the Buffalo Bills preseason broadcast as the sideline reporter and always a welcome guest. Happy to have him on the air with us here tonight. We're coming to you from One Bills Drive, and we're going to take a break and come back and talk more about the draft. Our friend Josh Norris of RotoWorld.com and NFL.com, he is a draft analyst, has some thoughts on quarterbacks. He's got a mock draft fairly recently, and we're now 10 days away from the National Football League draft, so we're going to check in with Josh Norris and get his thoughts on what's going on around the league and with the Buffalo Bills. It's our first night in Rochester on the radio. We're making our Rochester debut tonight on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester, and happy to be doing that. More to come. We're up until 9 o'clock tonight with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And we're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, on the air for the first time tonight in Rochester. Hope you're tuning in there. Sports Radio 950, ESPN Radio in Rochester. On the line with us, a friend of the show, a guy who has his finger on the pulse of the NFL draft. He is the NFL draft writer for RotoWorld.com and a draft analyst for NFL.com. Josh Norris joins us. Josh, thanks a lot for coming on. How are you tonight?
Absolutely, and I couldn't have chosen a better intro song for myself. You know? Oh. Wagon Wheel, just near and dear to my heart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I figured that with the Carolina Boy.
There you go, right?
Yeah. Old Crow Medicine Show, right? Isn't that the name of the band? Yeah.
You're absolutely the only country music song I listen to.
Yeah, it's a good song. My kids keep me current on the cool music chat. I'm clueless most of the time. I'd be listening to, like, 80s hair bands if it weren't for my kids. Hey, Josh, 10 days away. Are you tingling with excitement about the NFL draft?
You know, I wouldn't have said this a week ago, but it kind of feels like we already just did this a year ago. You know, every time that I'm thinking about these prospects, one's memories are coming up from last year and the same ideas we had and things like that. But I'm excited to see where these guys end up and let the speculation end, I guess.
Yeah. Josh, interesting, I thought, today. Am I detecting a little mini bubble around Ryan Nassib, the Syracuse quarterback? Did you see John Gruden's comments today on Ryan Nassib?
I did, and, you know, I believe John Gruden, Greg Cosell, and Russ Landy of the National Football Post, who used to be an NFL scout, all have Ryan Nassib as their top quarterback in the draft. And, you know, I understand it, because there are certain traits that teams are going to look at in prospects, and even evaluators, us on the outside, are going to look at quarterback prospects and see certain things we like. Now, I like certain other people, other prospects, other quarterbacks, other signal callers for different reasons, but I'm not exactly pounding the table for one of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I would take each one, even any of them, in the first round if I was a decision maker. But there are certain things that people like about Ryan Nassib. I mean, he moves in the pocket pretty well. To me, it's frenetic, but other people could say he's just very mobile. He obviously makes quick decisions, quick reads in that short to intermediate levels, and has a cannon for an arm there. And they think he can improve his downfield accuracy and velocity. So, yeah, I really don't have an argument with Ryan Nassib as a top quarterback, and we'll just see how it plays out. I think there is a chance he goes in the first round.
Yeah, and around Buffalo, it seems like we've been talking about Ryan Nassib since Doug Marrone was hired back in early January, and we've almost come full circle back on Ryan Nassib. I think my sense was the Bills would be able to grab him with that ninth pick in the second round, 41st overall. And when I hear the kind of talk that I heard today from Gruden and some of the other guys you just mentioned, that's not likely anymore, or is it? You tell me.
Well, and Peter King wrote it in his Monday Morning Quarterback this morning that teams seem like that they're certain that Ryan Nassib will be that pick at number 41. Now, teams might trade up earlier than that, and I actually think that the Bills, if they want to secure him and they think that he is the prospect, the quarterback prospect that's going to lead their team, you're going to trade him in the back half of the first round. And obviously, it seems like Geno Smith's still going to be in that first round area, maybe not even in the top 10 anymore. But I think the two quarterbacks that have a chance to be also selected in the first round, like we just mentioned, Ryan Nassib, but the other one is EJ Manuel. Because you don't go into a draft and say, well, if we end up with one of these five quarterbacks, we're fine. No, you really select it down to about one or two, usually just one. And I could definitely see a team, especially the Bills, because that connection is obvious.
Yeah.
Choosing Ryan Nassib.
I was talking to Nassib's agent today, Josh, and he pointed out to me, as a good agent would do, that his guy, Nassib, was in Arizona today meeting with the Cardinals, who, by the way, draft just ahead of the Bills in the first round, and Lane Johnson, the offensive tackle there today as well. And I think he indicated that if the Cardinals might be thinking Lane Johnson, Ryan Nassib with their first two picks, which certainly the Bills would have to take notice of that, drafting almost right behind the Cardinals in both rounds.
You're absolutely right. And yeah, I don't expect the Cardinals to go with the quarterback in the first round. I think they really need to shore up that offensive line, because left tackle seems like it's been a need for them forever. And obviously they brought in some veterans to play quarterback. I could definitely see that 1-2 combination. I do think that there's a chance that the Cardinals could possibly trade up just to assure themselves of one of these three top tackles, because there's no sure thing in the NFL draft. But I think that NFL teams are going to be very confident in these offensive tackles as proven commodities, or more proven commodities than other positions, and they're going to fly off the board. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if all three, Luke Jokel, Eric Fisher, and Lane Johnson, are off the board by pick number 5 is complete.
Wow, 3 tackles in the first 5. That's pretty amazing. Talking with Josh Norris of RotoWorld.com, the NFL draft writer for them and a draft analyst for NFL.com. You mentioned that Nassib is not your top-ranked quarterback. You like Tyler Wilson of Arkansas as the best quarterback. Tell me why, Josh.
I do, and I feel alone in that commitment there. You know, I think that, obviously, we talked about earlier, Tyler Wilson and all these quarterbacks do certain things well. But for Tyler Wilson's, his ability to stick to the pocket, buy himself just a little bit of time, and he's not afraid to take hits. And especially if it means the receiver's going to get open. And to me, that transcends any offensive scheme. I think we've seen a lot of quarterbacks that have great tools that look good on paper, look good on workout, throwing in short, but they fail because they don't stand in the face of pressure and hit those targets and hit them accurately. Sure, Tyler Wilson, his deep ball seems to float a little bit at the end, and he's got small hands, people say, and his accuracy wasn't spot on. I think it was a perfect storm of bad events this season. I think he's got an underrated ability to buy himself a little bit of extra time, and he's certainly not afraid to make a mistake and hit targets vertically. And to me, that just screams success. Maybe it's not as the first quarterback taken, second, third, fourth, or fifth, but I think with how these quarterbacks have gone throughout the league and been rotated, he's going to get a chance to shine at some point. I think he's going to make the most of it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, Josh, that you have such high regard for Tyler Wilson, and yet in your mock draft, you didn't have him in your first round, right? Where did you put him?
I'm realistic about it, to be perfectly honest. And I've got Tyler Wilson as my top quarterback, Geno Smith as my second, and even Zach Dysart as my third quarterback. We've talked about him plenty of times, so sure. I won't go into that, yeah. But I'm realistic in the fact that they're not going to be drafted probably to start right away. I think a lot of these quarterbacks aren't going to be drafted to start right away. But like I mentioned, just with how many quarterbacks keep getting second chances to start in other places, I mean, Drew Stanton is even a backup quarterback over and over again. Carson Palmer's been 3 different places. Jason Campbell's had his chance to start in multiple phases. You know, I think that at some point, 2 years, 3 years from now, these two quarterbacks, Tyler Wilson and Zach Dysart, are going to have a chance, at least in a string of games, to show what they've got. And I'm confident they can do well.
Josh Norris, our guest. We're talking the NFL draft. It is 10 days away. Josh writes for NFL.com and for RotoWorld.com. Enough about quarterbacks for a second, Josh. You've got in your latest mock draft, first overall, Central Michigan's Eric Fisher. Tell me about him and the chances that he would go first overall to Kansas City.
Once again, that might not be very realistic. But I think that Luke Jokel is going to be that first overall selection, but I think he is battling Eric Fisher for it. Now, the only reason, and it's partially stubborn, I have Eric Fisher there is just because I'm more comfortable with him. And sure, possibly that comes from seeing him at the Senior Bowl. You saw the same thing, where he was the best player there,
yeah,
and held up against very good rushers. And I believe he actually has better athleticism than Luke Jokel, has more of a mean streak and likes to latch on and contain and control his opposition more than Jokel, who prefers to mirror and keep a distance. That's just the style of blocking I like. Now, it sounds like I'm being harsh on Jokel, and it's not, but he's not a perfect prospect. If you go back and watch his first game of the season this year against Florida, he had some issues against Laurenti McCray, who's going to get drafted, but I think both are very good, and they're both very close, but I give this slight edge to Eric Fisher.
I want to ask you about pass rushers, Josh. I guess first-round caliber pass rushers. In your mock draft, you have LSU's Barcavius Mingo going second overall to Jacksonville. But tell me the difference, the distinctions, if you would, between Mingo and Jarvis Jones of Georgia and Deion Jordan of Oregon. How would you rank them, and what are the important distinctions among the three of them?
That's a great trio. Let me start from the last one you said, Deion Jordan. To me, he fits prototypically as a strong side linebacker in a 4-man front. And I also think he can play a pass rushing outside linebacker role. But to me, if you just put him as a defensive end, and some people have listed him that just takes away all the extra things he can do very well. He's very comfortable in coverage. He's very agile in coverage. Even lining up against slot receivers in college and doing a very good job at what? That's at 6'5", 6'6", 240 pounds.
Yeah.
And I think he can grow into a pass rushing role more predominantly. But to put him in a strong side linebacker, he can make your defense so much more versatile. and change the schemes quite a bit. Well, I'll quickly go with go ahead.
Well, just quick question on Jordan. When I saw him at the combine, I thought to myself, well, this guy looks like a basketball player. He's rangy. You know, he looks like a number two guard on a really good college team or something.
You're absolutely right. He was recruited as a wide receiver. He played some tight end as a scout team during his early parts of play at Oregon. And then he was best as a blocker. And so Chip Kelly saw him and said, hey, we're moving you to defense. And he is just, he only played at about 225 pounds at Oregon, but he's got nasty hands, very violent. And I also think his shoulder issue played into his pass rushing ability this year. But it's tough to box score scout him because of how much they put him in coverage and how comfortable he is there. Quickly with Jarvis Jones, to me, he's purely a pass rushing outside linebacker. He wins with a great get off, a great motor around the edge. I don't think he has the frame to fill out or the athletic upside that the other two do. But as a secondary rusher, I think that Jarvis Jones can be quite good. But to me, that's in the 20 range. And quickly with Barkevious Mingo, to me, he is a very athletic mover. He's very good in short spaces. I just wish that he showed more this season. Now, there are times where I think that LSU asked him to take less aggressive pass rushing lines because of the athletic mobile quarterbacks and to not escape the pocket for him to contain. But I think that he's a very good rusher with tremendous upside, and a team like the New York Jets at, pick number 9 could really use him.
So can you rank those three, how they, you know, how where they belong? And are they all three first-rounders, would you think?
Absolutely. And I would go Deion Jordan, then Mingo, and then Jarvis Jones. And I think Jordan and Mingo are close. I feel most confident with Jordan, but I would push Jarvis Jones down just a little bit from that group.
Interesting. Wide receiver group I want to ask you about. Tavon Austin, is he at the head of the class?
I absolutely think so. And we talked about certain traits transcending schemes. I think Tavon Austin is the same way. Now, certain teams are going to use him effectively, most effectively, especially in creative ways. But I think that his lateral agility, his foot quickness, his speed to get open, and how electric he is with the ball in his hands will shine in any offensive scheme. And I think any offensive coach would want them on his team. I honestly do think that Tavon Austin has a legitimate shot to be a top 10 pick. And if a team is going to trade up for an offensive weapon in this class, it's going to be Tavon Austin, in my opinion.
And what about Cordero Patterson? He's been linked to Buffalo. Does he belong up there in top 10 pick?
Probably not anymore. And there's been some buzz lately that he hasn't done so well in meetings and the whiteboard. And it's tough to gauge a player who only spent one season at the FBS level. Now, I will say that there are criticisms that he didn't run a very good route tree and he body catches. But he caught something like 92% of the passes that were catchable this season. And he created separation consistently without refined routes. And to me, even if you only use him as a screen receiver with or drags or slants, he shows that he's very physical and is very effective with the ball in his hands. So if you get him the rock early on each play, he can make things happen. So it's tough for me to see the bust label that he's been given by some. I think he's going to be a first rounder.
All right, two quick questions before we let you go, Josh, and you may have already answered this first one. Is there anybody whose draft stock is dropping like a stone right now?
Yeah, you know, it might be Patterson. It also might be Keenan Allen. You know, he injured his PCL back in November, and it still hasn't healed 100%. Sure, I think the ligament has, but the muscle around it is only about 75%. And he ran in the 4-7 range, and sure, speed's on his game, but you obviously don't want to draft. A lot of teams won't draft a receiver in the first round that ran the 4-7. Hmm.
And lastly, sleeper, an absolute sleeper that you think is jaws are going to drop when his name is called next week.
How about Jamar Taylor, the corner from Boise State? I think there's a legitimate chance he's a top 20 pick. Obviously, Desmond Trufant's getting a lot of buzz, the senior out of Washington, Jonathan Banks from Mississippi State. I think Jamar Taylor is the best of that senior bunch.
Really?
And I think that with Chicago Bears at number 20, he's a viable option there.
Josh, great stuff. We always appreciate you being on the air with us. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure, about the draft as it approaches. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Josh Norris, he is the NFL draft writer for RotoWorld.com, a draft analyst for NFL.com. We'll take your thoughts on the draft. It's only 10 days away now, round 1 of the NFL draft, Thursday night. April 25th, and we'll be right here in our studio at One Bills Drive to carry you through the draft that day. Maybe you heard something that Buddy Nick said earlier on. Maybe you would like to talk about our question about Ryan Nassib. You know, John Gruden loves him. Greg Cosell loves him. Russ Landy loves him. He thinks he should be first overall in the draft. Should the Bills reach at number 8 and take Ryan Nassib? Is that a reach? Is that too much of a reach? Let us know what you think. We've got time left for a few phone calls. The lines are open. 803-0550, the number locally. Toll free for those of you in Rochester and elsewhere. 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Few minutes left, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, coming to you live from One Bills Drive. We're here every night from 7 to 9, back again tomorrow night with another show. We got a few minutes left here. In the remaining moments here, we'll take your phone calls. Ring us up. Your thoughts on what you heard from Buddy Nix, from Josh Norris, from Mike Catalana, or anything else. 803-0550, the number. Toll-free, it is 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. Happy to have those listeners tuned in from Rochester tonight as we make our debut on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester. Here's a call from Leonard. Hello, Leonard. Welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show, Leonard.
John, I want to touch on that hot topic of quarterbacks coming up this year, and I'd like to hear your personal power rankings on how you have them sized up, your own power rankings for the first top couple guys. So how do you got them, John? How do you get them ranked?
Yeah, good question. I guess I'd rank them this way, and, you know, this is based on my observations from what I've read from people who I trust as far as talent evaluation. As far as, and not talking about fits with any particular teams here, I would put Geno Smith, the number one quarterback of this group. I would make Matt Barkley the number two quarterback in this group, and I would make Ryan Nassib the number three quarterback in this group, followed closely by Tyler Wilson, E.J. Manuel close behind, and then I think a drop down to the Zach Dysarts of the world and maybe Tyler Bray. That would be my ranking, and that's just me. That's,
if I got more specific and actually towards the Bill system, would those rankings change a bit? Or?
Yes, they would. Yes, they definitely would. On the Bill system, I think I'd rank Nassib number one because he knows the system. He worked in the Bill system last year at Syracuse. I would rank maybe Geno Smith number two, and maybe E.J. Manuel number three in what we believe to be the Bills system. We haven't really seen the Bills system yet. Good question, though. Let's go to Randy in Buffalo. Hi, Randy. Welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Hey, John. Yeah, I just had a question concerning some of the comments that these analysts are making. One guy says Massive has a strong arm. The other guy says he's got not so good of an arm. Yeah. I was wondering what your opinion is on his arm strength.
I think his arm strength is adequate. I don't think it's extremely strong, but I do think it's adequate, and I think, he can probably get by in the type of system the Bills are installing, kind of a West Coast to get the ball out on rhythm, on time, you know, a lot of slant patterns. I think he could probably more than get by in this system. I think his arm strength is adequate. We had Buddy Nix on the show with us earlier tonight. Buddy Nix, the Bills general manager, our guest in the first hour. Don't know if you missed that. Bills players are returning here to One Bills Drive. They've been around for a couple of weeks for off-season conditioning, and tomorrow afternoon, 2:45, they start the first of three straight days of a voluntary veteran minicamp. Among those not expected to attend is Jairus Byrd, the Bills safety. The Bills put the franchise tag on him back in second week of February. Nobody's heard from Jairus Byrd since then. He does not have to report tomorrow, and as I said earlier, that's probably the only remaining leverage he has, little shred of leverage, and trying to get a new extended contract agreement with the Bills to avoid the voluntary minicamps like this week. But we asked Buddy Nix in an appearance on the show earlier tonight his thoughts on Jairus Byrd not attending this week's voluntary offseason workouts.
You know, that's his choice. We try to coach and work with the guys that are here.
You have a mandatory minicamp in mid-June. Would you expect to see Jairus there?
Well, I'm going to expect to see him when he comes in the door. You know, it's up to him and his agent. So, I've had very little communication with him. And, you know, obviously we'd like to get a long-term deal done with Jairus and, get him exposed to it. But again, it's not a big deal with us. It's his right.
Yeah, it's his right and contractually the only leverage that he really has remaining. What about Kevin Cobb, just signed to the roster yesterday? We asked Bills GM Buddy Nix about Kevin Cobb.
Well, you know, we kind of had him on the radar for quite a while, and we wanted another veteran, somebody that had been in the league and played in the league. We wanted somebody else to compete for the job, and Kevin's excited about it. He's, you know, we were impressed with him when he played, when we played against him till he got hurt. And you got to be impressed by his toughness and his smarts in football. And when he's had an opportunity with surrounded by pretty good people, he's done well.
That's Buddy Nick's thoughts on Kevin Cobb. We'll hear more from Buddy Nix tomorrow on the show. Also going to hear from a documentary director, Ken Rogers, from NFL Films. They've got a new 30 for 30 coming up on ESPN next week that deals with the great quarterback class of 1983. We'll talk with Ken Rogers about that. Well, we're glad we have launched in Rochester on Sports Radio 950 AM in ESPN Radio in Rochester. We'll be there again tomorrow night, as well as our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Radio. Hope you tune in for that. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer, Pete Cargis, their producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, Bill's director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. On the air at 7 tomorrow night with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.